I think if you ask most people what gluttony is, they'll probably say that gluttony is when you eat and drink too much. Like when you have to unbutton your pants after Thanksgiving dinner just to sit on the couch afterwards. But that raises the question, how much is too much? A construction or field worker who is built like a Mack truck might be able to down 2 porterhouse steaks and 2 six-packs of beer and not break a sweat, while his 90-pound wife needs to buy stock in Gaviscon when she goes out for her 1 martini and fries lunch with the girlies. So is the mortal sin of gluttony the one case of relativism in moral theology? It's relative to how much you can handle without getting sick? And what happens when you thought you weren't in the danger zone, and then your doctor calls you out for that second glass of wine that puts you over the edge because you forgot that you weren't in your 20s anymore, right? St. Thomas Aquinas, the angelic doctor, writes, "The vice of gluttony properly consists in inordinate concupiscence." Remember that the word concupiscence is one of those great theology vocab words which Aristotle had described centuries before as a craving for that which is pleasant and is ordered either to the good of reason or the good of the senses. Aquinas comments on this that gluttony is an inordinate desire for the pleasant that becomes a mortal sin when it turns man away from his last end. This is the case when he adheres to the pleasure of gluttony as his end, for the sake of which he contends God, being ready to disobey God's commandments in order to obtain these pleasures. He further clarifies, when a man has too great a desire for the pleasures of the palate, yet would not for their sake do anything contrary to God's law, it is a venial sin. I think that this is a fascinating distinction because it takes the discussion about gluttony out of just answering the question, how much is too much? And puts it squarely back into the more important question, who is your God? St. Paul writes the Philippians in chapter 3, verse 19, their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. Now, I confess that I've always found this kind of an amusing verse. I kind of always imagine someone eating too much at a Chinese buffet and then rubbing the belly of the fat Buddha of good luck statue with a laugh, "I get you, man," and thus incurring eternal damnation for idolatry. Right? Seems rather a bit far-fetched, doesn't it? Aquinas makes it seem, at least, that the mortal sin of gluttony is almost a subspecies of idolatry, which of course makes it particularly egregious, but also not what generally motivates people when they do most things to excess. But it does reveal what gluttony is really about. It's an unhealthy relationship with created things, and that's more than just food or drink. And just because it can be venial doesn't mean that it's okay. Repeated venial sin predisposes us to mortal sin by weakening the will and clouding the intellect. And because gluttony is in the danger zone of violation of the first commandment, it really needs to be checked. Now, here's the thing. Gluttony is not just about the senses and created things. One of the most mind-blowing moments of my life was in college when my spiritual director gave a conference on the spiritual seven deadly sins. And I was introduced to the idea that there was such a thing as spiritual gluttony. The 16th century Spanish Carmelite mystic, St. John of the Cross, defined it as an insatiable, even pathological desire for spiritual experiences, whether they're real or not, either in prayer or as part of religious acts and rituals. He described spiritual gluttons as those who will feel and taste God as if he were palpable and accessible to them, not only in communion, but in all their other acts of devotion. Now, the obvious part of this is when people go off on their spiritual but not religious quest into New Age and Gnosticism. But you know what? You can be a Catholic and still commit the sin of spiritual gluttony. The people who obsess over and seek after visions, apparitions, consolations, and mountaintop experiences. Now, don't get me wrong, those things exist, but they are gifts from God that you can't channel. And you know what? If the highest gift is love, you know what? You can be a loving person at any time. So why obsess over these lesser gifts and think that you're doing something wrong or God doesn't love you if you don't have them? There's also the danger of trying to seek spiritual things apart from obedience to the church. Now, the church is not the bouncer for the sacraments, but she is the steward of the mysteries. We now live in an age where people see the church as Burger King, right? Have it your way. And so they will demand to receive communion even if they are in an invalid marriage or not in full communion with the church. They will insist that the disciplines of the church shouldn't apply to them because they are special in some way. They'll hear the word, sorry, but no, from one priest about something, and then just shop around until they get the yes that they want, regardless of the sound reasoning behind the no in the first place. They proof text canon law and the catechism without being properly trained in canon law or theology, and talk a lot about their rights, but totally ignore their responsibilities and then trash talk a priest for not giving in to their unreasonable demands. They want the spiritual things because they believe in what they are. But they really want to do it on their own terms and not God's, even when God gives them in communion with the Pope and the bishops and the parish clergy and within a structure meant so that people would get the greatest benefit from them. And then they'll even leave the Catholic Church that Christ founded because they have deceived themselves that they can't be spiritual enough if they stay in the ark of salvation itself. This form of gluttony is endemic to the Catholic Church today. Spiritual and corporal gluttony is even more endemic to the world that we live in. Excess has become so normal to us that we no longer realize what it means to have all we need and that we don't really need more than that. And that causes us to make decisions that actually dull our sense of the ultimate spiritual realities. So, what is the remedy for gluttony? How can we avoid falling into a sin which can be deadly and cause us to lose our soul? I'm going to suggest two things that are among the most unpleasant and most unpalatable things that many of us can hear, and I have to confess that I don't like them either most of the time. Obedience and mortification. First of all, obedience. We avoid spiritual gluttony by not trying to manipulate God and His church to our will. We recognize the goods of the spiritual life. We seek to serve God and not the things of God in simplicity and quietness. You may be surprised to hear this, but you know, you don't become a saint by just doing a bunch of spiritual practices. You become a saint by obedience to the will of God in your state in life and calmly embracing the cross. Trust in the providence of God and receive His gifts with joy. Don't try to be some imitation of some particular saint. Be yourself and be that well, as St. Francis de Sales says. And second of all, mortification. We have that statue of St. Benedict that's in the church right there, so near the confessional. He started talking about mortification in a monastery. You would think the monks would be kind of down with that. They hated him for it, tried to poison him and kill him. So if you give me any chalices of wine today, I'm not going to take them. St. Benedict talks in his rule for monks, which is very applicable in so many ways for those of us who are not living within the cloister walls. He talks about moderation. Whether it's food, drink, social media use, for the love of God, get off the internet, my friends. Okay. Spiritual gifts. No matter what it is, ask the Lord for a disciplined approach to their use. You know, you don't have to be a teetotaler, right? Because the risk is that it becomes unsustainable and you just throw in the towel on the whole thing, right? But you know, it is always a good thing to choose to mortify yourself in some little way in every situation. And also, fasting is a good thing. Don't be stupid about it. The point is not to harm your health. Unite it with an intention of prayer and do reasonable goals. And realize that your fasting is not about earning God's grace or bending His will to yours, but about opening the body and the soul to a space that only He can fill and fulfill. And that space cannot be filled and overflow with the gifts of God if that space is filled with your idols. Your food, your drink, your self-will, and your self-righteousness. My friends, I'm not offering these observations because I am in any way a model of overcoming this sin, or any sin, by the way. I've never met a cookie I didn't like, right? As a church, we're all disciples on the way together. And we're here to help bear each other's burdens. So let us pray for each other. Have the courage to challenge each other. Do our best and let God transform us. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Thank you.